Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
A triple substitution and a bunch of children holding Bayern Munich. What a European night, people. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 17th of February. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Jim Campbell sounding extremely breakfast TV there. I enjoyed that.
Was right, yeah.
Nice to see you guys. How have you been coping with Storm Dudley? Or are we on to some other kind of storm now?
I have been largely fine. I've just stayed in my house. So that provided ample protection.
And ladies and gentlemen, that is the formal instructions from The Great and the Good. So well done, Jim.
Yeah, although I feel a bit like a square.
I thought the formal instructions were have less hair than in the past, which is one that I'm fulfilling. So it's working for me. Yeah.
Have you ever been tempted by the old Pep Guardiola?
I've got good head shape.
No, sure, absolutely.
That's why I don't fear male pattern baldness. Come at me. Anytime, come at me.
I have no idea what shape my head is. Absolutely no idea.
Well, you've got to shave it to find out. That's the thing, isn't it?
I'm not going to do that.
If you shave it, your hair's one of your greatest qualities, Jim.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I see a Patreon special coming on. Send in whatever you'd provide to have Jim shave his head.
Okay.
What do you reckon?
We'll see.
Well,
it depends what they offer, right?
Show it at footballramble.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know? Do you have a figure in mind?
No. Oh, it's monetary. I thought it would be, you know, be a bit more creative than that. We'll see. What will it take to make me shave my head?
All right, guys, let's get to some more choice morsels from the Champions League last 16. Inter 0, Liverpool 2. A bit an exciting night from many perspectives. James Milner getting his 800th appearance. Little Harvey Elliott starting.
Yep.
And also Simone Inzaghi apparently overheard in the tunnel warning players about Harvey Elliott.
Wow.
That's cute, isn't it?
It is.
Pay the man some homage. Or possibly he was like, oh shit. Yeah.
Don't know much about this one. So
he's had yeah. an injury. Watch and him. he's starting. Very enjoyable first goal. I thought pretty well organised. Lovely corner. And I do like a glancing header, Andy.
Yeah, well, Liverpool would have taken anything at that point, given that Ooh. It was their first effort on target. Well, it was their first yeah. effort yeah. on target, wasn't it? And also, it came completely against the run of play. Mm. You know, they were really under the pump. Luis Diaz coming on, well, that triple substitution changed a lot, and Luis Diaz enabled them to play on the front foot a little bit more. But they did really well to hang on, especially in the first part of that second half, I thought, Liverpool. The Inter were excellent.
You thought they were hanging on, sorry?
In the first part of the second half, yeah, they were, I think, for the first, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And, you know, they defended really, really well, Liverpool. You can't have any argument with that. They're excellent. But I thought what was interesting is I've never felt at any point this season that Inter have massively missed Lukaku, because Edin Dzeko has been great. Mm. I think it was Karl Anka who brilliantly described him on Twitter last night as a store brand Robert Lewandowski, which I think is a really good description, yeah. actually, of Edin Dzeko. And not disrespectfully, because, of course, Lewandowski is the best of the best. Yeah. He's amazing.
And, like, we're talking M&S or Waitrose as well, right? It's still, you know, it's still some pretty good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think not even essentials. Yeah, we're talking taste the difference. I think I'm mixing my supermarkets there. But I think this was the first time this season that I felt that they missed Lukaku. Because yeah. if they have Lukaku chasing those thankless long balls, is different. It's a totally different game, and Liverpool have got something else to deal with.
Van Dijk's amazing in that situation. That particular moment where Lautaro Martinez was sort of running at him. He almost looked like he was running through treacle, which is weird because he's, you know, you don't sort of associate him as being like this particularly slow player, but and I just gave him nowhere to go, just shepherded him out so calmly. He is so zen. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird to see any footballer that comfortable. I feel like you barely see him run. We talk about it all the time, but he just doesn't need to. It's like he slows the player around him down somehow rather than him needing to speed up.
It's a little bit like, you know, when they did those Halloween pranks. I think it was Kyle Walker did those Halloween pranks at Tottenham on all the players. And the ones who weren't scared were Moussa Dembélé and Jan Vertonghen.
And he could have predicted it, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's a very good comparison. Yeah. I suppose it's the thing we talk about, you know, people being able to... Last-ditch tackles are fun, but you shouldn't ever be making them because you should be reading the game 10,000 steps
ahead.
Said
like Pep Guardiola.
In an ideal world, yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the plane? Speaking of Pep Guardiola, did you see that plane? They had to be diverted, City, to Liverpool on the subject of Storm Dudley. Yeah, they tried to land three times and then had to go to Liverpool. I don't know if there's some sort of footballing metaphor in there after Pep called Liverpool a pain in the arse. Sadio Mane revealed that he and Mo Salah have got a pact of silence about the AFCON final. Now, I don't know much, Jim, about pacts of silence.
Mm.
But I feel like he's like not talking about them probably... the main first
well
thing.
I can't reveal any of mine for obvious reasons, but I can tell you they do work. The thing is, Egypt and Senegal play each other in a World Cup qualifier, don't they? So
which is presumably
over
why.
Almost yeah. yeah, so they probably want to just like not they probably just both want to give each other the best chance possible in that and not think about what is probably a quite stressful situation in that dressing room.
Also you can say a pact of silence is one thing. It wouldn't stop Sadio Mane put in a photo of himself holding the trophy in Mo Salah's pocket, would it, in the changing room?
Yeah, you just got to be more creative.
Yeah.
The mind games are a lot stronger if you can't use words, I would imagine.
Do you think like a WhatsApp message, does that count?
Does that count? Good question.
Because it is fundamentally silent if you've got your notifications turned off.
Yeah.
I think
even
I...
a GIF.
What the, who writes WhatsApp messages? Surely it's got to be voice notes in this day and age, right?
Well, not with the pact of silence. That's immediately out the window.
He might be more cheerful about the fact that he becomes Mo Salah, only the second ever player to score against both Milan clubs in the same Champions League season. Yeah.
He loves a goal away at Inter, though. Mo Salah loves it from his time in Italy.
Following the footsteps of Peter Crouch in 2010-11.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I modelled my game on Peter. He didn't say.
Well, Wayne Rooney said he wouldn't mind being compared to Peter Crouch in his new film, didn't he?
Oh, no, I haven't seen this.
Yeah, he said, if I get compared to Pele or Peter Crouch, I don't mind. It doesn't make any difference to me.
Oh, is that not a bit like my... the only person I aspire to be is myself.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he starts to say it, and then he realises that it might come out as a bit of a sledge on Peter Crouch, and then he just sort of sticks on a for example on the end. It's excellent, the Rooney film. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Really good.
All right. Yeah. Let's have a watch party. What is a watch party?
What do you think it is? All the information you need is in the name.
I was pleased that Firmino scored. I like the way he got up ahead of Bastoni for that goal because he's had a bit of a tough season and he only came on. Diogo Jota's got an ankle injury of some kind that's being assessed.
I think it might didn't be look quite too bad.
Oh, really?
Klopp was saying after the game it didn't actually look too bad. That's a shame. I hope not, because he's just a joy to watch, isn't he, Jota? But that is what you get from Firmino, isn't it? In a moment like that, when he wasn't even necessarily expecting to play, he comes on and makes a difference in what at that point had become quite a sort of tight game. Because as you say, Inter were really on top in that second half. But he's just so reliable like that, Firmino.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Other key elements, Sadio Mane's probably with the first ever should have scored their bicycle kick. And Joel Matip hitting Jordan Henderson on the head in the celebration.
That.
And Jordan Henderson looking extremely not.
But it wasn't just Jordan Henderson who got hit on the head.
No, he went around three.
Everyone on the head, didn't he?
Yeah. What is Jordan saying? I should get some more elaborate celebration.
No, I think he was just the first one to get the hump about it.
Yeah,
I think
it's an odd thing to do, isn't it? Oh, everyone's distracted. Give him a little slap on the head.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't Antonio Rudiger going around?
Have you seen Mitrovic celebrate? Jesus, I mean, come on, it wasn't exactly that wild, was it?
Well, wasn't Antonio Rudiger doing that in the photos for Chelsea at the Club World Cup? I can't remember who it was. As the photo was being taken. And crept up behind them and slapped them on the back really hard.
Wow.
And they were shirtless. And so you can see all of the players cheering, and one of them, I can't remember which, just going,
I can't believe you've done this.
On his back, I imagine. So it's a dominance thing, do you think?
No.
It's all a dominance thing.
I just think it's japes, isn't it?
Everything is a dominance.
That seems like mighty games, isn't it? Someone slapping you when you're celebrating something. As long as we get it, I guess.
We're probably not going to see games like, well, maybe we'd see Inter, Liverpool generally, but we might not see the one we're just about to come on to, Salzburg, Bayern in future, because the Times had just reported that the Premier League, or games of the style of Salzburg, Bayern, the Times have reported this week that the Premier League's Big Six have refused to sign a new owner's charter proposed by the league, which would commit them to qualifying for the Champions League via current sporting merit.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, because UEFA are having to try and cut off the Super League at the pass. They feel that maybe they've got to offer this historical relevance bit. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone is just locked in. It means like there are a couple of places that are, you know, come with historical merit. So, you know, theoretically, that could be Ajax, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
although with the amount of money they've got, there's no bloody way they're with them in the Champions League in the next couple of years.
I like your theory. Yeah. I think it might be ignoring some of the key facts around the theory.
Oh, it's not ignoring. It's filling in the bits that aren't said.
It doesn't sit well with me at all, that idea that you might get in there on historical merit, even if it is very, very recent. It's just like someone else misses out who should have been there on merit, surely.
I'll tell you who it doesn't sit well with: Newcastle United fans. That's who it won't sit well with.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, but not even remotely surprising that it's all six involved again, isn't it? Like, I guess none of them want to risk their status if this comes to pass in the future by being the ones that, like, well, actually, no, we don't want to be involved, because any sort of future Super League could be like, all right, then don't come along. But it is frustrating that none of them will take a stand. I know that they're all, from their perspective, they're all individual businesses that need to protect themselves and get the best possible, you know, deals in the future for however football might take shape. But it rankles.
But they signed.
And I don't like being rankled.
But they signed for the Super League. So do we expect that?
Well, yeah, of course,
I mean,
they said they got it wrong, most of them.
No, they said we got caught, is what they said. I mean, they were never the drivers behind it, because if you're in the Premier League, there's not the need to go for the big cash grab, because you got
you
it
already. Grabbed the cash.
Already.
The cash is already in your boot.
Yeah.
We were attic. Yeah. Salzburg, I was going to say crafted out a tie, but not really. It was 1-1 final score against Bayern Munich, but they were ahead right up until the 90th minute after a kind of lucky opener from Adamu in the 21st minute. This was cool. I really enjoyed watching this game, Brass, and all of the stuff, the kind of high pressing, all the fact that they were so young. Hilariously, their coach is even younger than Julian Nagelsmann. Matthias Jessler. Thank you. So it's just quite interesting to see them in action.
There's a proper pipeline. They have a second tier club as well, where in Austria, where it all happens from. And then who knows which German club the stars of this team might end up at next? Which unconnected German club the stars of this team might end up next is hard to figure out. Although they have spread their wings, obviously, by selling Erling Haaland to Dortmund in the last couple of years. Karim Adeyemi is likely to be going to Dortmund this summer as well. That's pretty much sealed, that deal. And he obviously had a very good game last night. I think it's easy to look at this game and think, they were just had it snatched away from them right at the end because of the timing of Koeman's equaliser. They were hanging on for a really long time. Mm. And I think that's the other thing. When you play this high-intensity football, no matter how young and fit you are, like there's going to be a
you're
point
look
where...
You're going to look pretty decrepit by the end, and they did. Yeah. And in fact, they should have, or they could have scored Bayern in the very last minute of injury time, because there was a foul given on against Thomas Müller, I think, in the box. And their goalkeeper had punched out the ball, but not at all comprehensively.
It was good, because we've had a few games this week that have either been walkovers, or in the sense of this Inter-Liverpool game, it shouldn't have been a walkover, but the result leaves it totally closed for the second leg. Mm. It's nice to feel that something's a bit open going forward. And, you know, this is a suggestion that Salzburg could cause them difficulty again in Munich.
I still feel weird without away goals. It's going to take some getting used to, isn't
Mate,
it?
Oh, I'm just in denial.
It's so weird. But in this situation, it's actually quite good, isn't it? Because Koeman scores the equaliser and you think, oh, that's a pain. But you don't think, oh, it's finished the tie.
Mm.
Which, you know, because imagine Salzburg have to go and, you know, that they can't draw 0-0.
Yeah.
You move on so fast, Andy Brassel.
Not that they're the sort of team that
want to... He just move on, doesn't he? He's so flexible. He just moves with the times.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get over it, I don't think.
You're not?
Away goals, no. Right, like we were saying yesterday, it's just...
No, it's
pandering to the big teams.
Totally. It's taking away another layer of jeopardy, but, you know, find the joy where you can, I reckon.
Right then. And there is some joy, despite all the background that I'm sure, as we said, will be talked about on the continent. You might have noticed in the Inter Milan Liverpool game, some lovely advertising. The main shirt sponsor was Fan Tokens Inter on their shirt, something like that, or like a dollar sign Inter, is it?
Yeah, Sinter, it looked like, didn't it?
Sinter, and that's something we're just going to come on to quickly before we go to a break, because there's been a bit of uproar around UEFA's decision to partner with a company selling cryptocurrency Fan Tokens. It's been described as incomprehensible by Football Supporters Europe. Now, look, UEFA are by no means the first organisation to partner up with Socios. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it like that. Arsenal, Tottenham, everybody, all the great and the good. Not yet Wimbledon, Brass.
I'm shocked.
You should get on to them about that. It's another way of showing you're a true fan. Anyway, the perspective or the way it's being sold is the idea, and here's something from the Socios website. We believe passion should be recognised, and every fan has a right to make their voice heard, whether they are wherever they are in the world. Influence your team, access VIP rewards, blah, 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 and join a global community of super fans. So it's like a kind of Pokemon card, but you've got to pay, I think, but you've got to pay for it. Or you get your, you've got to pay for it in cryptocurrency, which is unregulated. Yeah. Now, Jim, you probably would consider, I mean, first of all, you'd see yourself as a super fan, wouldn't you?
Yeah, okay, yes.
So how many fan tokens will you be buying?
Well, I suppose as many as I can afford. Is that what you want to hear, Arsenal? Is that what you want? But yeah, it takes a while to get your head around it, doesn't it? Because it essentially, as you've touched on there, it's built on blockchain technology, and to use it to buy the fan tokens, you have to buy the cryptocurrency first. That you can't just buy them with money.
So you can't
just
be like, I've got a tenner, and I would like to buy a fan token.
Yeah, but the issue is that the cryptocurrency itself, being a cryptocurrency, it can fluctuate in value, which has already happened. The Arsenal one, I think, went down in something like 60%.
I don't think we can blame crypto for Arsenal.
I think we can't blame crypto for Arsenal. I think when you say they can go up, they can go down as well as up in value, you're meant to say that very quickly in a quiet voice.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's very confusing. And I think that's part of the problem, isn't it? It's a lot of people getting into crypto at the moment clearly don't actually know what they're getting into.
Yeah, and that is a big deal. I think especially off the back of what happened with Football Index, where people felt it was an investment, and it wasn't. It was gambling, basically, and it was made very, very unclear. And obviously, a lot of people lost out in a quite intolerable way because of the way that was presented. Clarity is all you can ask for, because I think in terms of clubs trying to monetize loyalty, that is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I go back to when I was a kid and I used to call Club Call, for example.
Look at it, he's like always pushing Club Call, isn't he?
I'm not pushing it.
This is a come and get me plea to Club Call.
My mum and dad. But I was strictly limited to like sort of a 1-2 minute call a week or whatever.
I reckon,
and they would tell you about the latest team
phone line
news.
Hot take.
This is
from Brussels.
50p a minute. No, we're not going there. So, you know, I don't think it's anything new. The fact that, you know, clubs are offering questionable products to try and make the most of fan loyalty, that has always been the case. It's just a different medium. But I think we're in a society where we demand clarity, and we should be able to demand clarity, and that's what's important going forward. And in terms of showing my loyalty and investing in Wimbledon, for example, I and thousands of others did that, and that's why we've got a lovely new stadium.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. That's worth spending your money on.
And a lot of Wimbledon fans, not to take it from one extreme to another, do things like collecting for the food bank, because I've seen them outside of the old Earlsfield Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And that's another good way of showing your support of your club. It's trying to help people in the local area.
That's the amazing thing, actually.
I don't know if it is buying tokens.
One led on to the other, because the Dons Local Action Group, which does that stuff, that was actually formed by, it was originally Xavier Wiggins, formed a leafleting group to send out leaflets in the local area about the bond, which the Plough Lane bond was how they were raising money to pay for the shortfall in the stadium funding. And the infrastructure that created, I thought, well, we can actually put that to use in the community as well. So it's an amazing thing.
I think part of where this comes from as well is the kind of blockchain cryptocurrency idea is conceptually is quite strange in a lot of ways, and NFTs are a good example of that, where people have essentially tried to, if you look at the kind of the ape JPEGs that everyone's buying now,
they're very expensive.
They are very expensive, and essentially the idea is that you're buying true ownership. You know what I mean? It's almost like an abstract concept that they've tried to monetize. It's like, yes, anyone can screen grab this picture of an ape, but only you truly own the ape. And that's quite weird. And I think what's being applied here is the idea of being like a true fan, isn't it? Is still something that gives a lot of people status anxiety, because football's so global now. Most fans of clubs, realistically, they can't go to games. Exactly. Like, and there is status anxiety about that. It's like that sense that, like, you're not a true fan unless you're in the stadium is real, unless you're, you know, contributing to the club in some way. I think
unless
this is taking advantage
podcast.
Of I think this is taking advantage of that, really. It's like, well, these fans can now say, well, we put money into the club, we have our say. And that clout online it's an issue, isn't it? You see people having those arguments all the time. I wonder if like this has been seen as an opportunity to try and make some money off the back of that.
So are you saying that if there were fan tokens that were just bought with pounds or whatever?
No, I think regardless of what it's bought with, I think that's where this idea has come from.
Yeah. Just another way of making money from people who live not in...
Well, but it's monetizing a concept, isn't it? Rather than anything tangible, really. I know that you get to make decisions on what colour the corner flag might be or something, but obviously it's not significant.
The message on the captain's armband or something was one
but
of
like in the same way that, you know, the ape NFTs or whatever are, what you're really buying is the concept of ownership. In this sense, what you're buying is the concept of being a true fan. That's how it looks to me anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Interested to hear what you guys think. You're listening, actually. Write in show@footballramble.com. How many have you got? How many are you getting?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join Luke Moore and me, Pete Donaldson, for an unplanned half hour where we discuss life's great mysteries like, can a man survive by eating roadkill, as well as the week's most bizarre news stories and your ridiculous adventures, like this one about an almost catastrophic shortcut.
We eventually came to a large railed fence, which I decided we should climb. I scaled the 15-foot-ish fence, and as I was sat atop, ready to jump down, three or four police came running from a little building we hadn't noticed before shouting at me and grabbing my mate Sam. I was faced with the choice of legging it onto the other side of the fence or gallantly going back to help my friend. I returned to Sam, and the quite pissed off police and my gallantry was rewarded as they advised me that I had been climbing into the zoo and would have landed in an animal enclosure.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Jim and Andy Brassel with you today. Thursday it is. Hope you're doing all right. Now it's time for some of these.
If you've got something for us, show footballramble.com.
Ooh. Sing it, Brass.
I'd rather not, if that's okay. I'd rather just read this email from Joseph Colomy. It says, I want to follow up with yesterday's Pep Talks email from Sam Watts from Nashville. I also live in Nashville, and I'm also an avid Nashville SC supporter. As to the traditions for the new ground, I want to dovetail a bit from Vish's suggestion of housing a hot chicken sando for every goal. The supporters group I am a part of does have a goal tradition already. We all bring flasks to every game and have a tradition of shots on goal, wherein we imbibe local Tennessee libations for every goal.
Ooh.
Nice.
Is that allowed?
Well, it's definitely more suited to this than
the
basketball, isn't it?
Maybe not.
No.
Yeah. As to the suggestion from Marcus of live goal music, that would absolutely rule. We do, however, have a team institution, a tradition with sponsor Gibson, of having a local guitarist shred a little riff to officially kick off every home game. We've seen that before, haven't we? As email Sam is surely familiar with.
I like that. Isn't like everyone in Nashville like an amazing musician? They probably rotate the guitarist every week. That
sounds. So I mean,
it's dangerous though, isn't it? It's a dangerous tradition that you could end up getting quite battered quite often. The better your team are, the less you're going to remember of it as well.
That's true.
Yeah,
I don't think we should support that necessarily. Stay pure, drink afterwards.
Daniel Noble's been in touch as well. He said, just thought I'd let you know that Alan Saint-Maximin was in Spy Bar in Jesmond recently and met a university football team called Jesmond Tutu. Nice guy. Gave them 500 quid to go on a night out on. So,
oh,
yeah.
Blimey.
I mean, you are familiar with the North East, aren't you, Andy?
I'm familiar with Spy Bar. It's about 3 minutes walk from my house.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord.
Actually, yeah.
How many football teams have you given 500 quid to for a night out?
Well, I haven't been in this week, obviously, but that's remarkable. I mean, it's on a strip on Osborne Road, which is it's just full of bars. It's like, yeah, it's just a whole strip of drinking emporiums. So I feel sad for Spy Bar that not all of that money will have stayed in there. Mm. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Also, what was Alan Saint-Maximin doing in there? I mean, it's quite a sort of going out sort of place. I mean, he can't really say, oh, I was going out for a pint of milk or a packet of pork scratchings or whatever.
Well, he's loving life, isn't he?
He's just out.
He's not. I don't think there's any doubt about that, is there?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that became a difficulty back in the day. I mean, Jermaine Genius, didn't he, talked about the goldfish bowl?
Yes,
didn't he? The fact that it's a big city that's a small town, and you know, if you're a footballer, you're going to get spotted everywhere.
I don't think Alan Saint-Maximin minds that so much. Which is good news for Newcastle, isn't it? He might stick around forever.
Daniel sent in quite a sweet photo of them all with him, and he seems like he's getting into the spirit of things. Not like that. He seems like he's being a part of the crew, is what I'm saying.
That's nice.
We've been hanging out with Alan Saint-Maximin. Write in show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. Right, tonight it is time for the return of the Europa League, and also, don't worry, everybody, the Europa Conference League too.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Rodgers is excited.
Well, he is now.
Yeah. Now he knows what it is.
Yeah.
Jesus. Is it normal? I don't think it is normal, in fact, for there to be so many like old school ties in any kind of European competition. We've got Barcelona and Napoli. Okay, we wouldn't normally expect them to be featuring necessarily in the Europa League. Dortmund up against Rangers. I'm loving that.
Well, it's the playoff, isn't it? Or it's the teams that have dropped out of the Champions League.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the playoff system. 16 teams competing for 8 spots in the last 16. But even so, those teams together, I mean, like.
Yeah. I'm all for that. It's great. Proper old school.
I mean, the big names, the thing is, you just go down the list and you go, poorly run,
yes.
Having a bad season, need to reconstruct their defence, midfield's all over the place.
Rangers.
Jim's in a brave mood today, isn't he? Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Jim, in line to start his first game in Barcelona colours. Dani Alves had to move out of the squad,
him. Because I'm gutted about that for him, as I'm sure everybody is. But how brilliantly romantic would it be if in this season of all seasons that Barcelona managed to actually win the Europa League with Dani Alves lifting it? Like,
you see, I think probably having been part of loads of Barcelona teams that wouldn't have pissed in this competition if presented with the trophy.
Just be like, what the hell is that?
He's probably, we're talking about poor Dani Alves being cut. And it is a typically Barcelona decision. You sign four new players, three forwards, and you leave the defender out.
Yeah.
I think there might be a part of him going, you know what, I'm happy not to play for a Barcelona team in this. I won the real stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also,
yeah,
if I want to win the Europa League, I'll win it with Sevilla. Thank you very much.
In the Europa Conference League, Celtic up against Bodø/Glimt. I know that's not how you're supposed to pronounce it. Look out for this.
Bodø/Glimt.
Bodø/Glimt. Well, again, more of this on the continent. Wouldn't want you to feel like it. It was only...
There's more than just that. Do listen.
Look out for this, people. If you see some yellow toothbrushes being waved in the air at Parkhead, it's because it's a symbol of support for
Bodø/Glimt.
Beautiful. And the story is that in 1975, during a North Second Division game, a fan became frustrated, understandably, at a lack of chanting. So he asked for a baton to conduct the singing. They're looking around for a baton. Has anyone got a pencil? No, someone had a toothbrush. And it was seized upon by Big Toothbrush.
It's funny because I thought it was more modern than that. I thought it was like, oi, brush your teeth to the other fans.
Yeah. But it's this story is so quaint. So quaint because of what happened next.
Except that it is then, you know, commercialization enforcing itself on the game because someone from a toothbrush manufacturer showed up and was like, ah, I see an in here.
No, but he was sat nearby though, wasn't he? It was like, it's so quaint and sweet, I think.
All right.
But I don't really understand why you've got like large yellow demonstration toothbrushes. I mean, who are you demonstrating toothbrushing on? Like a dinosaur or something? I don't really get it.
Well, it worked, didn't it? That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Kjetil Knutsen, the
Bodø/Glimt
boss, has reportedly knocked back Aberdeen's approach to be their next manager, presumably because of Pete's review of the beach.
Yeah. He wields more power than he realises. Donaldson.
Good Lord. Also in this illustrious competition, Leicester host Randers, who are fifth in the Danish top flight. Brendan now says that they do actually want to win the Europa Conference.
Because he essentially said that it's been doing the rounds, hasn't he? That he's like, well, I didn't even know we were in the competition. But it's a little bit unfair. It's been slightly taken out of context, which was essentially...
It has not. He was like, I haven't even heard of it. It was after he got knocked out of the...
Yeah, but he said he was so focused on being knocked out of the Europa League, it wasn't until he got back into the changing room that he realised that they've now gone into the Conference League. So it's not like he's saying, oh, I'd never heard of the competition.
All right.
Sorry, yeah, we should have printed the legend there.
The whole different thing with, as you say, the pre-round to face the group winners.
Mm.
It's interesting, isn't it? And it is completely new, and you can understand why people are caught on the hot by it, I think.
God, you've been an apologist for quite a lot of stuff today, I feel like, Andy. You're trying to get an interview with Big Brendy.
This is until we get to the bit about him having big energy to win it. It's like he's impressing upon us. My Spanish is so good. I speak English like a Spanish man. In this moment.
An enjoyable story emerged about one of Randers' former players yesterday. Mads Finger, I think.
Mad Finger.
That doesn't sound like a very good Bond villain.
No, it doesn't.
He was at the club for 8 years until 2017, and he'd passed his medical for a new club in Belgium. And they'd been interested, they'd been following the player for years. And they pulled the plug on the deal because, according to his agent, his height on Wikipedia was a couple of inches taller than he actually was.
The thing is, the way clubs are run, you can absolutely believe that.
That is mad.
But it's interesting. Player height in all sports is something that's... It's not really... It's unregulated. It's the crypto of football, basically, and of sport generally. Because in the NBA, at the start of this season, they brought in a regulation as part of your medical, you're given an official height. Because for the first time, because in the past, your height and weight has just been them asking you. So some players lost a couple of inches at the start of this year.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant gained like 3 inches, 2 inches at the start of this season.
Why does he not know how tall he is?
Well, he did.
Oh.
But what? So he was playing it down. Why would you do that?
Didn't one of the other
What's
guys feel
awkward?
What's
the point of that as
awkward.
A basketball player?
Yeah.
Well, because I guess in his situation, where you're tall but a good shooter, maybe you want to take a little bit off so people don't think you're so clumsy.
That's such a good point. as I've referenced a number of times already today, Andy Brassel, there is more of him today. On the Continent is out later. Dutton and Andy looking back over the best of this week's Champions League with David Carthledge. And they'll also check in with the Portuguese Premier League. I wonder also, Brass, if you'll be talking about Atletico Madrid.
Well, it depends. Send in a question.
I always do. And you never bloody answer any of my questions. Look, I constantly send in questions. Will you shave your head again? That sort of stuff.
You know what the problem is? You don't have enough burner accounts. That's what the problem is.
Get over to Football Ramble Presents for more of that. Lovely to see you, you two. Excited to find out what your number is for the head shaving thing.
Yes, Jim. We'll see, won't we? We'll see what can tempt me into that. I suspect nothing. All right. We'll see.
And,
looks good with a beard, Jim. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Likewise, Brass. Can't wait. Nice to see you.
Likewise.
On tomorrow's show, it's me, it's Luke, and it's Andy Brassel again. Can't wait. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.